Chad, could we do chronic wasting disease regulations?
Good afternoon, members of the commission, Secretary Hepler. I think we have CWD rules on page. Actually, I have a revised handout here for you, Rachel, if I could get you to. I know. Actually, yeah, let's go ahead and do that. What we have is a revised proposal action sheet that's just a slightly different than the one you have in your booklet. In trying to determine whether or not we have everything addressed here, one thing that we kind of had a little oversight on would be from a regulatory standpoint or enforcement standpoint, what is a CWD endemic area? And you'll notice on the back of that, or on the second page of that handout, we delineate or define what those current areas are by down at the hunting unit level. So, Mr. Chair, if I can just start off with a few things before we get into this. So I think one important component to remember is the goal statement in our action plan that was adopted by the commission, and that goal is to determine the presence, absence of CWD in certain hunting units through surveillance efforts, to reduce the spread of CWD across our state the best we can, to be as proactive as we can to reduce the artificial spread. We know there's going to be natural occurrences that can allow this disease to spread across the landscape that we just have no control over. And then, you know, to have a public that is informed, understands the situation, and has some level of support in regards to the rules and the management processes associated with CWD. After the plan was adopted in July, which I think serves as a good structural foundation, we have that in place now. It will be, I guess, maybe formally completed once any current proposals are finalized. We will likely be bringing some updates and revisions to you as a commission, you know, based on new information that becomes available related to CWD, whether there's some new best management practices. There's some things that we had some oversight on. I mean, one thing that we will probably be bringing to you here in the near future is some recommendations on how, whether you as a hunter that might do your own European mounts or a taxidermist, what are some of the best ways to get rid of that water you use to boil that skull to prepare that specimen for that particular taxidermy purpose with those prions sitting potentially in that water? What's some of the best ways to dispose of that water? We've been working with staff and a lot of other partners right now finalizing logistics and other details related to surveillance efforts for this upcoming fall hunting season. We'll continue to build upon that in the future years. I wanted to inform you on some of the public outreach that we did on the commission's current proposal, in addition to the general news release we did in working with some of my staff and our communication staff. We sent a direct email out to over 79,000 resident and non-resident deer and elk, not only license holders, but applicants. We know there's hunters out there that have not secured a license. We have lots of applicants out there. We wanted to try to ensure and target those individuals to ensure that they knew this proposal was out there. Based on the software we use, we know that maybe just under half of those actually opened the email. We don't know how much time they spent looking at it. We know how quick we can be with deleting, so we don't know. It may not be the best way to inform the public, but it is a method. Chris Hall and I did another GF&P podcast on the topic, on the proposal, what that means to hunters, why we're working with the commission to do that. We sent a letter and a copy of the proposal out to 200-plus licensed taxidermists we have across the state, 100-plus game processors that we know of across the state, the 20-some permitted landfills across the state. We wanted to make sure that they were informed about this proposal in front of the commission. And obviously our CWD stakeholder group, you've probably all seen about the 40 public comments that we got. Thought we would have had more, but this is what we got. Obviously, I'm sure you as a commissioners and a lot of other staff had discussions with other constituents that contacted you that may not be in this list that was shared with you of formal public comments. But another little statistic that I want to share, we did some digging, and if you look at the 2018 license holders that held a deer or elk license that would have been valid in one of our units that we currently know where we have CWD, what we'd be looking at, so if these rules were in place, this would have had some level of impact's not the right word, but it would have been effective for around just over 10,500 licenses that would have been valid in our known endemic areas. So of that 10,500 plus number, of those successful license holders, about 35,000 harvested animals from that known endemic area would have ultimately, potentially, a high likelihood stayed within the endemic area. Those hunters resided with a zip code within those endemic areas. It's not to say that those hunters may not have a processor or a taxidermist outside of that area, and the remainder would have likely went out of that area. So of those 10,600 and some licenses that were valid in the endemic area, of those animals that were harvested based on zip codes from those hunters, around 44% of those harvested animals would have had a high likelihood of being taken out of our known endemic area. Okay, so just to put some figures in there on how many license holders and harvested animals, carcasses we might be talking about. Rachel, I just have one more handout. I'm sorry. I want to make sure you're not falling asleep. Just some visuals, and this is no disrespect to any of you commissioners, because I know a lot of you are deer and elk hunters, but just a visual there of what the current proposal means to a hunter that has a license and hunting under these rules. So we have some photos there of what deboned meat would look like, what a quartered animal quarters coming out only would look like. On the back there's a picture of a deer skull that has a V cut. That would be what a clean skull cap would look like. Okay. Again, I know most of you, if not all of you, know what this looks like, but just wanted to kind of give you a visual. And, you know, some different methods of field dressing. You have your normal way, the gutless method. These would be some of the things that the hunters on the current proposal, these would be some of the things they would be looking at in the field to abide by the current proposal. So with that being said, just want to go in there. We do have some recommended changes for your consideration. Not changes, I guess, but some alternatives. Rachel, do you have another copy of that handout that has that change? That one there, please. Sorry. I'll get it back. So just to go over what is the current proposal, if we look at interstate carcass transportation, those would be carcasses coming back into South Dakota from another state. Right now, there would be a ban pretty much on whole cervid carcasses and other high-risk service parts coming into the state, regardless of whether that state is known to have CWD or not. Whole cervid carcasses traveling through South Dakota would be exempt from that. You can see cut and wrap meat would be allowed to come in. Very similar transportation rules for those carcasses being moved within our state from our known endemic areas. And then the carcass disposal requirements for both, actually for hunters, wildlife processing facilities, and taxidermists, ultimately with the proper disposal of those carcass remains, either, I guess, staying in the field where that animal was harvested, but if they were going to be coming out, any remains from that animal would have to be disposed of in a permitted landfill, okay? So on the second page there, recommended changes from proposal. You will note there that change number one is just a simple addition there to define where our known endemic areas are located at down at the unit, the hunting unit level. So we listed out deer and elk hunting units there. Okay. Recommended change number two. We have no recommended changes to the disposal requirements as currently proposed. In addition to those transportation rules that have already been proposed, the department and I think the commission would like to have some discussion here on some alternatives to consider. So alternative one is pretty much the same transportation rules for both inter and intrastate transportation that is currently proposed. The only change that you will note there would be instead of cut and wrapped meat, we replace that with deboned meat. I guess we really don't care how they transport that cut meat as long as they do it in a fashion that they feel is going to be safe and maintain the integrity of that meat until it gets home. So if they just want to keep that meat in pillowcases or game bags in a cooler, it doesn't need to be butcher wrapped with paper or stuff like that. So deboned meat would be the only change to alternative one based on your current proposal. Alternative two, you'll see after that there's a header there that says carcass restriction with head antler allowance for taxidermy purposes. So the change with alternative two based on your current proposal would allow those parts to come back to either the hunter's home, their domicile, or to a taxidermist as long as they abided by the proposed disposal requirements that you have on your current proposal. Okay, this would allow heads, whatnot, to come back, whether they're, you know, I guess, caped or uncaped. It would allow those to come to your home to do your own European mount or to come to a taxidermist, okay? That would address some of the concerns that we've heard from taxidermists. We had one of them here that spoke today on behalf of his business, and I'm sure maybe some of you have heard from some taxidermists. I've heard from maybe four or five with this potential concern. So that would make an allowance for that. Alternative three would be going back to the whole carcass allowance, kind of where we kind of started with. This was kind of the recommendation from the stakeholder group within the draft plan that was brought forward to you. This would allow whole carcasses, carcass parts, heads to either come into the state from other states or to be moved from our known endemic areas to your home, say, in Brown County. That would be an allowable practice to take home to do your own butchering, to take to your game processor or to your taxidermist. The only caveat is there, the compromise is the disposal part. That is very important to ensure that those high-risk carcass parts, any carcass remains from our known endemic areas, are going to be properly disposed of. And with that, we mean to a permanent landfill like you have on your current proposal right now from a disposal standpoint. So I know that's a lot. I don't know if you've had much time to soak this in, but that's kind of where we're at, and I would entertain any questions and have as much dialogue here as we need to today. So,
questions? Commissioner Sharp.
Commissioner Sharp here. As I understand it, based on your presentation, Chad, alternative three kind of mirrors what come out of the stakeholder group. Would that alternative do anything towards helping mitigate the spread of chronic wasting disease from where we're at today?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Sharp, absolutely it does. I mean, right now we really don't have anything on the books. And I'm not saying we have to have regulations on the books to try to manage CWD and reduce its spread, but it is a step in the right direction to ensure that, you know, alternative three does allow for current practices to occur like they are right now, but it does put a requirement on that hunter and that taxidermist and that processor to ensure that those carcass remains that could potentially, if disposed of incorrectly or improperly, introduce those prions into the environment. So the disposal part would be attached with that. We'd probably have some a much more level of acceptance from some of our businesses associated with hunting activities. Is it as black and white and maybe as restrictive as your current proposal? No, it's not, but I think from a biological and a social aspect to consider, my opinion would be it would be a step in the right direction. Is it perfect? Probably not. I don't know if there is a perfect solution to this problem, but it is a step forward.
Chad, can you remind us the timing of this? This would all take effect next year, right?
It would take effect for the, well, it would be our recommendation. You folks are the decision makers, and I'm not mm-hmm. taking anything away from that, but we would recommend for 2020. And I guess, Commissioner Chair, regardless whether you make a change to your current proposal or not, we would maybe suggest another 30 days of public comment to allow us to continue to, you know, make outreach and have those conversations with our public and gather as much input as we can.
Commissioner Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do you think that the low number of public comments is due to the difficult subject matter? I mean, that it's really just that complex of a subject that people aren't getting the importance of how this is to our future for big game in the state?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Olson, I think it could be some of that. I mean, you know, we've known we've had CWD here for nearly 18 years in our wild deer and elk. We know that not all of our deer hunters hunt within these areas where we have CWD, so it doesn't affect all deer hunters. You know, if you're lucky enough to draw an elk license, you're probably only doing that once, maybe twice in your life if you're lucky. So, you know, I don't know. It's summertime and lots of things going on. School just starting. I don't know. I mean, we're going to scratch our heads and try to find some better ways to inform our public on this. But, you know, nonetheless, whether I think the statement is pretty true. I mean, there's a lot of folks, and it's not just me talking to the public, but a lot of our staff have had a lot of discussions on this matter, and a lot of folks didn't really know much about CWD, did not fully understand its potential long-term effects on our deer and elk populations or how it's spread, or maybe these are some things I should be doing, whether there's a rule or not, when it comes to transportation, disposing of an animal, things of that nature. So I don't know if I answered your question, but
more questions, comments, motions?
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Phillips.
Thank you. Commissioner Phillips here. The majority of the butcher plants and the taxidermists have access to proper disposal. They're incinerated, correct?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Phillips, I don't know how much or what proportion of those businesses are incinerating those parts versus taking them to a permitted landfill already versus dumping in a private pit, and whether that's being managed appropriately for this disease management purpose, I can't answer that. I don't know.
Commissioner Sharp.
Commissioner Sharp, I don't know how to go about this if, you know, we amend our original proposal, if that's what it would be, but I guess I would make the motion to amend the original proposal to alternative 3. And the reason being, I think we kind of crawl, walk, run into this. And if this is a good step forward, it gives everybody the opportunity to maybe start managing towards more rules like this, and we can see, you know, how effective it is without really, you know, kind of going to a horribly restrictive type approach overnight. So that would be my motion.
Chair,
Yes.
Commissioner Bies.
Commissioner Bies, I don't believe, it, from what I was listening to, I don't believe it's to accept Proposal 3. It's to accept the whole new proposal, because there's numerous things that are different from the original proposals, just not number 3. Am I right or wrong?
Mr. Chair, no. Commissioner Bies, if I could maybe kind of go through this, and I know it probably got complicated, so we got lots of numbers and lots of letters on here. And so if it would be the commission's desire and vote to accept Commissioner Sharp's alternative 3, that would be the transportation component of a revised proposal. We would still ask that, if you go to your front page, the carcass disposal would still be retained within that proposal. So on the second page, alternative 3 would simply replace items 1 and 2 on your first page, okay, for inter and interstate transportation. And then, as indicated above, we would recommend that we define where those CWD known endemic areas are at the hunting unit level as listed above. Sorry if that got a little murky. Okay. Mr. Chair, Rachel just asked me what's different between the handout and what you have in your booklet. And the only difference, Rachel, would be under the recommended changes from proposal, we have another addition there that defines the endemic areas that would be in rule, so we could enforce that. It'd be a rule on the books.
So Commissioner Sharp's motion would be to, based on what we have, what we see as 1 and 2 would be replaced by alternative 3 on the reverse sheet, and then 3 on the front sheet would stay as, or is that, that's where we're at, right?
Correct. And if it is needed or desired, I could actually work up a new proposal that would reflect, it would kind of take care of this murky water and clean this up for you, if I'm following Commissioner Sharp's recommendation there.
Should we do that and put that in the morning too? Unless you, it's going to be hard to get it done yet today.
Mr. Chair?
Yes. Sorry.
Commissioner Whitmire. Chad, this morning, recently we just heard a testimony on a butcher shop that was had utilizing a incineration procedure. Would that be acceptable the way he described it, or would there be parameters where that could be added as an option for disposing of skulls?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Whitmire, I was thinking of that after I visited with that individual in the hallway, and I am not a prion expert, or at what level does that protein become non-existent, but I do believe, based on some of the peer-reviewed literature that I have read, incineration, even at 2,000 degrees, does not eliminate that protein. It obviously maybe has a higher likelihood of reducing its effectiveness of its infection rate. Incineration would be better than being dumped some other place, and if that's an option for some of these businesses versus having to travel 30 or 40 miles to take parts to a permitted landfill, if their waste management provider, garbage truck guy, does not take those parts, it could be an option for consideration. It's better than some other alternatives of improper disposal.
Yeah, okay, thank you. So perhaps that would only be a reduction of the volume to be taken to one of the other two facilities. It wouldn't be, it would still, in the end, ultimately, whatever ash remains should still be dealt with, as mentioned here.
And just to be clear, I don't want to give you a false impression that taking a prion-infected carcass to a landfill is getting rid of that prion. It is going to a spot where it's being managed. They probably have some higher level requirements on the leachate, waste coming out of there to manage that better. It's being covered. Not to say it's getting rid of that prion, but it's keeping it localized at a managed site, I guess, is probably the best way to put it.
Based on all this discussion and Chad's idea to maybe clean this up a little bit, I would like to withdraw my motion to amend and
come back to it tomorrow.
Come back to it tomorrow when he has a clean sheet, so to speak.
Okay. Fine.
All right. So we'll
do that. You'll come up with a new sheet, and we'll take it up in the morning.
Certainly, yeah, whatever you want to do, Mr. Chair, but just so I understand, the clean sheet would include that alternative three in the back and...
Yeah, I'm assuming you're coming back with alternative three with the proper carcass disposal all listed in kind of one sheet of paper, and the deer units spelled out all under alternative three is this and this. The interstate, the deer units, and the proper carcass disposal is what I would think would be the clean
sheet approach.
Absolutely,
we can have that for you in the morning.
Okay, good. And then we're trying to figure out what to do with the agenda in terms of what, yeah, so we need about a 5-minute break to see how we're doing, what we're going to do. And so let's break for 5 minutes and then we'll be back.